Who doesn't love cereal? It's easy, quick, and tasty, but a lot of tasty cereals are rarely also good for you. That's why I love Magic Spoon, an absolutely magical cereal. There's only 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's low carb, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and only 140 calories a serving. There's a flavor for everyone, and you can build your own box with a variety of flavors. Get nostalgic with cocoa, fruity, frosted, or peanut butter. Get indulgent with cookies and cream or cinnamon roll. You'll also love blueberry muffin, maple waffle, and honey nut. I personally love blending blueberry muffin with a frozen banana, milk, and matcha powder. Trust me, it is so good. Go to magicspoon.com/sapphire to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code SAPPHIRE at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/sapphire and use the code SAPPHIRE to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, believers, non-believers, and everyone in between. You're listening to Stories with Sapphire. I am Sapphire Sandalo. Now get cozy and open your mind because it's story time. Earlier this year, I was contacted by Meriden Angeles, head of marketing for Cuento Comics, an international all-Asian women comic book company whose mission is to create stories that introduce Filipino and other Asian mythos to a wider audience. They sent me a copy of their debut issue of The Mask of Halia, Eye of the Serpent, and I immediately connected deeply with it. The art is incredible, the characters are relatable, and it takes place in Cebu, where my family is from. So, for the final episode of 2022, I met with some of the Cuento Comics team, and they were generous enough to share some of their unsettling paranormal experiences, because sometimes the truth is creepier than fiction. First, Meriden speaks of her sleep paralysis demons. Then, Curry recalls when her cousin was the target of an Encanto prince's infatuation. And finally, Cecilia shares a spirit's cry for help at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Augustine. Chapter 1. Are you afraid of spirits?
Hi, my name is Meriden Angeles. I'm originally from New Jersey, but moved to Los Angeles, California in 2013. And I've been here ever since.
Meriden is the head of marketing at Cuento Comics.
I feel very connected to the spiritual world, but that didn't happen until I was 18 years old. So my very first experience with, let's call it a spirit, I was in the living room and my mom was cooking a Filipino dish and I was taking a nice nap. It was maybe around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just felt tired. So in the middle of my nap, I just felt like a cold breeze over me. And when I opened my eyes, I saw this dark, shadowy figure, like just floating above me. It was very transparent. And once I saw that, oh my God, it just, my body froze. I was screaming in my head, like screaming, because I didn't know what was happening. And all I could remember saying is like, "Mom, mom, help me." Like, I just felt depressed, like for no reason. Like, I don't even know what dream I had. I don't know if I was having a dream or whatnot. I just felt coldness in my body, like chills. And I just felt so sad, so scared. And I got so scared that I closed my eyes and I just started praying, right? Because that's like the only thing that I was aware of, just pray. And so I just started saying, you know, the Our Father and whatnot, and just pretty much telling it to go away. So I guess after that long 1 minute, maybe it was like only 10 seconds, but it felt forever. Like, I felt every second go by. Like, I thought I was dying. Like, I thought I was going into like another world. It was so weird. Like, there's no words to really explain how you feel. So after that whole 10 seconds or whatnot, I like got so pissed at my mom. I was like, "Mom, you didn't hear me? I was screaming for you and you didn't help me." Like, that was my first initial reaction. Like, you're supposed to like protect me. Like, I was just like pretty much bawling because I didn't know what the hell just happened. And that night, I was literally just Googling like what the hell I experienced. And I learned the term sleep paralysis, all these YouTube videos, and I just went down that, you know, the rabbit hole of like what is happening to me. And I remember hearing one guy in those videos like, "I don't want to scare you, but that shit is real." So I didn't think much after that. Like, I felt I had to block it out of my head, because if I thought about it, maybe I would be attracting it. Like, whatever that being was, I didn't want it to come back ever again. And so when I moved to Los Angeles, this is in the middle of the night, and I remember the room felt, again, a little bit cold. As this coldness started to happen, like, felt there was something flowing in the room, some energy. It was death. This one was not friendly at all. Very evil, very dark. And this one, after everything that I've researched, you know, you think you're just popping out of a dream, your body's still frozen, blah, 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 blah. This one in particular, you know, I woke up, like, I looked, I opened my eyes. I was able to turn my head to like see like, what is this energy that I'm feeling? And why did it get super quiet? You know, you usually hear like crickets in the background, and it just went dead silent. And I'll never forget this feeling. When it got so quiet, I felt the energy come right by my ear, and it was a voice, female voice, and whispered, like literally as if someone was in the room, and said, "Are you afraid of spirits?" Crystal clear voice. And when I heard that, that's when I got into paralysis. And my eyes were still open, and I literally saw the figure. It was almost like a squarish face, and her tongue was sticking out, very snake-like, and she just seemed so angry. It had like some reddish, orange, and green tones to it. Her hair almost looked like Medusa. It was very evil. But again, the longest 10 seconds of my life. Like, it felt like she was visiting. Maybe she wanted to play a trick, or it felt like she was sucking my soul. And at that time, my dad already had passed away. So again, I went into prayer and I closed my eyes and I told the spirit, it was like, "Well, my dad's in the spirit world and he will kick your ass. So you can't harm me." It's like, "He's my guardian angel." See, I'm like already tearing up about it, which is kind of crazy. And yeah, I just kept meditating, kept praying, kept telling that person or that figure, that demon, definitely felt like it's a demon, to like leave me alone. So ever since that, that's kind of been my routine, which is like, well, I have someone in the spirit world who's going to be protecting me, and now that you're here, you messed with the wrong girl. Talking about my dad, you know, my mom was very depressed at the time. And I guess I remember my mom saying, like, if there's any signs, please let us know. Just want to know if you're ever, if you're ever nearby, please give us a sign. And like some signs I would see would be like smelling grapefruit out of nowhere. And he loved grapefruit. I'm like, ooh, that's so sour. How could you like grapefruit? So, and you know, we never had grapefruit in the house, but to smell grapefruit, it was like, oh shit, he's here. You know, things like that. And where I live right now, we have a grapefruit tree in the back. That's like pretty coincidental, you know, like I didn't know that that was a grapefruit tree when we moved to this new place 2 years ago. But yeah, something, things like that. And I think that allowed me to be open, to be almost accepting. Like, yeah, there are these spirits out there. But again, my natural reaction was to pray as like a defense, like a, as like my superpower, you know, this prayer.
Meriden's story is a wonderful example of using what you know and relying on your guides. We all have allies in the spirit realm that we can call upon, not just when we're being faced with a taunting demon, but throughout our everyday lives.
So these experiences definitely impacted me in a way where I'm more curious, more open to the types of energies and spirits that are out there. It made me a believer. So when I hear stories, I get so intrigued. Like, it sounds scary, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh, yeah, yeah, tell me more. Like, you know, whereas some people would be like, oh, stop. Don't go there. I don't like it, you know. And then until it happens to you, you're like, oh, okay, now I know what they're talking about.
The stories continue after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now, the stories continue. Chapter 2, Courted by the Encanto Prince.
I don't know if my story is quite, you know, understanding enough because English is not my first language. My name is Kristen, but a lot of people know me by the name Curry.
Curry is a flatter for Cuento Comics, one who lays down the initial color after the line work is completed.
So I came from a small city in the Philippines. And there's like a lot of things that happened to me when I was like, when I go back to my hometown, because it's really, really creepy there.
The story Curry will be sharing today is something that happened to a distant relative of hers.
I'm just going to call her my cousin, but even though she's not my cousin, she's like a distant relative of mine. It happened a really long time ago. I was a kid and I know we're not supposed to talk about this, but here I am talking because I'm far away from that place. I'm like an island away from that place. So I think it's safe now to talk about it.
When her cousin was around 19 to 20 years of age, she went to a river in a forest.
As far as I remember, she was like trying to wash her clothes with the river because it's fresh water over there. So it's freshwater spring. So she's like, she was just doing her chores near a river. You know, there's an entity in the Philippines called an Encanto. It's like fairy. There's like a fairy world in a Filipino culture, and we call it Encanto.
These are not the fairies you see in American movies, where they're small and friendly. And no, they are not related to the Disney movie. These fairies look almost like humans, although they usually have slightly ethereal features. They like to interact with humans and sometimes become infatuated with them.
And then some kind of like an Encanto saw her and fell in love with her at first sight.
That Encanto really tried hard getting that girl that he liked. So what happened? He kind of like got into her and kind of like, what do you call that?
This Encanto liked Curry's cousin so much that he possessed her body.
So he kind of like went inside to her, and then he was like starting to talk to some of her parents as well as our other cousins, asking to marry her and then make her the queen in their realm because he was the prince. I know it's kind of like sounds unrealistic, but it is true. And we also had this quack doctor called an albulario step in so that she can exorcise him out from her. So it was a little bit scary. And what I remember happening was a lot of people were holding her down because she was like 10 times stronger than what she was, because she's a girl. And what her strength was like more than 10 people were holding her back on her bed because she was like forcing her way out from their grip. And her voice actually changed into a deeper tone, and then it was so scary because there was like different voices coming in and out of her. Like the albularium was telling that there were like a lot of spirits coming in and out of her because the prince Fay, the Encanto, was like trying to convince everyone, and he was like bringing along his relatives to talk in behalf of him to like let us set her free. And he was like bargaining everyone, like, oh, I'm gonna give you gold if you just give her to us because I really, really like her. I'm gonna make her queen. I'm gonna take care of her. And she was like, by taking of her, she's gonna die, you know, because it's her spirit that you were like trying to take away. And everyone doesn't like that. Like all of our family doesn't want her to be taken, you know? So the albularia was like trying to like do this this incantation where she expels all the spirits out of her body. And then what happened was me and my cousins were like standing in the corner of the room watching everything unfold.
The albulario lit some incense and filled the room with smoke. She turned to Curry and her cousins and began shouting,
"Get away, get away, get away." So like she was like so personally trying to get us away. So we kind of like went out of her way, and she was like, "Get away," on that same place at the corner of the room. And then we realized that, oh, it wasn't us that she was trying to get away. It was like the spirits.
The albulario continued with the exorcism, and the Encanto, while still inside Curry's cousin, started making threats. The Encanto warned that if the albulario successfully removed him, he would then possess the person in the room who was wearing red. Everyone looked around, and Curry realized,
I was wearing red. I'm like wearing a red sando. I was like, oh, damn, it's me. I'm going to be next. Oh, no, no, it ain't happening. So I ran over to my house, changed my clothes, and then put garlic all over me because that's like what the albulario told me to do. So it's like bathing myself with a lot of garlic, rubbing it on my face, on my hands, everywhere in between so that I won't be the next victim of his. And then when I went back, everything was like so calm. The albulario did cast away those entities out of her, out of the house. And what she told us was, you never, never tell this to any people because it will come back right at you. Yeah, but then I don't think it won't. I'm still a believer, but I'm far from that place right now. So I don't think they'll ever hear what I'm saying, the stories I'm saying right now. So I don't think they'll ever come running after me. So yeah, and then now my cousin is like living a good life. She's married right now. She has a kid. So whenever I ask my cousins of that story, if it happened or not, they're like, yeah, it happened.
It's like, oh, so it's real. It's not my dream.
Many cultures discourage discussing certain entities because it calls attention to them and might draw them to you. For Curry's sake, let's hope that being physically far from the place where this happened is enough to keep her safe. And for our sake, let's hope we're not calling upon the prince right now. Chapter 3. Help me.
Perfect, perfect. All right. Yeah, so hi Sapphire. I'm Cecilia Lim, and thank you for having us on the podcast. We're very, very excited to share our ghost stories.
Cecilia is the CEO and creator of Cuento Comics.
I actually have a ghost story light, and I think it's because I'm really, really afraid of ghosts. I grew up very devout Catholic, and I'm still very Catholic, but I do a lot of praying to my mom, who's passed away, my mother-in-law, and I'm like, please, just keep the evil spirits away. And I think they must be listening to me, because for the most part, that has happened. But I do have a story that happened years ago when I grew up in Illinois, and we moved down to Florida probably about 24, 25 years ago. And when you move to Florida, you want to check out the new state. So every once in a while, we'd take the kids. My husband and I would take the kids, my mother-in-law, my dad. We'd all go to different parts of Florida and visit. And I remember one particular time we went to St. Augustine. And St. Augustine, Florida is probably it is the oldest city in Florida, and it's probably the oldest city in the U.S. I'm not quite sure, but it is very old. It was started, I think, in 1565, if I remember my history. But it's very old. Lots of battles happened there, and the whole town, I think, is relatively haunted. But we were visiting one weekend in St. Augustine. On Saturday, we went to the fort there. I think it's called St. Marcos. And then the next day we went to the Cathedral Basilica of St. Augustine. It's a very large, beautiful, beautiful church. And I believe the history of this particular church is it was built and then it burnt down and was built, rebuilt, burnt down several times during the 15th to 1600s. But I think in the 1800s, it was rebuilt to its former self. So we went to Mass, you know, just a normal everyday Sunday Mass. I was with, you know, the family. And because it was such a beautiful church, I wanted to take pictures. So at the time, before there were digital cameras, before we even had cameras on our phone, I had an old 35 millimeter camera. And I don't know if you can see this. I know the audience can't see it, but there's a tiny little 1x2 screen on it, you know, because it's an old camera. And you have to actually like manually, like you have the film in it, the little film cartridge back in the day. And the little screen tells you, you know, what number of shot you have, you know, 25 out of 36, whatever it is. So I'm taking lots of pictures. And all of a sudden my camera stopped. So I look down at the little window that's on my camera. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder, oh, I must be out of film. And when I looked down in big, all caps letters, it said, help me. Okay, there's no way that was programmed into this very, very old camera. There's absolutely no way that was something like a menu item, because this is an old camera. And it said very clearly, help me. So I'm getting chills telling the story, because I remember distinctly in the middle of church, in the main aisle of the church, looking down going, how do I help you? I'm like talking to this ghost or whoever is needing help. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't know how to help you. And I showed it to my husband, and he's like, that is the strangest thing I've ever seen, because that should not be there. And I didn't, and I remember distinctly not showing the kids because I didn't want them to be freaked out. And I'm, you know, shaking the camera. I'm kind of looking around thinking, you know, is somebody playing a prank on me? But it was there for probably a good 5 to 10 minutes. And then after a while, it just disappeared and nothing else happened. But it was right there. Help me. It was the creepiest thing. My theory is because after that whole thing happened, I did go back into to look at the history of the church. And then St. Augustine has had a lot of crazy things go on in that it's a very historic city. And I don't know if it could have been a soldier who had died, ancient indigenous Indians who may have been there before the Spanish came. Because the Spanish came, and then there were several battles with I think the British came in and took over the city for a little bit. Then the Spanish came again. I mean, there's been a lot of death and destruction in St. Augustine. So to me, it wasn't like Meriden's story where she felt like a coldness. I was just more of in shock because I was seeing this. So I don't think it was necessarily an evil spirit, but I personally think it was somebody like an old colonist or somebody that passed away in that location and was just trying to break free and just trying to escape and maybe move on. Somehow there, that entity, that ghost was, or the spirit was stuck there. It was really strange that spirit used the camera to try and reach out to me.
There is sometimes debate as to whether or not spirits can use technology to communicate, but I don't see why they couldn't. If we believe that they can manipulate physical objects, why couldn't they rearrange the light in the camera screen to spell out, "Help me"? Who are we to say what's possible among the impossible?
Being Catholic, you know, they always say ghosts aren't real or things like that. But no, I think there's definitely a spirit realm. Ghosts are definitely real. I definitely feel that once you start opening the door to these types of things, then the spirits will see that there's, you know, some reception going on and be around. I kind of keep that door closed as much as possible, even though I am a comic book creator now. And I do tell stories about this, but personally I try to because I do think they're real. And I feel like I have to be guarded all the time because I don't want to open those doors. I don't know if that makes sense.
I believe the best fiction is inspired by something real, something passed down generation through generation. And what's more real than the supernatural beliefs of the Philippines? These stories have survived centuries of colonization and genocide. Our distant ancestors were talking about the same shadow figures and encanto that we talk about today. That is why I feel such a strong connection with my kababayan when sharing paranormal experiences. These stories are literally the DNA that unites us.
Like, I feel bad, Sapphire. Like my mom said, she's very close. I'm even more so. Like, I think they know. They're like, this girl is too sensitive.
And now, here's more about Cuento Comics from co-founder Waverly.
Hi, I'm Waverly. I'm the producer for The Mask of Halea. My mother and I, who just told one of her ghost stories in St. Augustine, we co-founded Cuento Comics really to bring diversity and representation of, you know, Filipino Americans and Filipinos, you know, to the forefront through the medium of comic books. So our very first series is called The Mask of Halea. It's a dark urban contemporary fantasy series set in present-day Cebu. It follows the story of a young Filipina-American teen named Marisol Reyes, who goes back to the Philippines after the death of her great-grandmother. And there she finds a mysterious mask imbued with incredible powers that puts her at an epicenter of a war between Philippine shaman and gods. So hopefully that gives you a little taste into what our series is about, but it's based on the Bicolano moon goddess Halia and her arch enemy, the Bakunawa, which in the Philippines is the giant sea serpent. Issue 2 is already out. You can find issue 1 and 2 on our website at www.cuentocomics.com. Issue 3 will be out by the end of this year.
Thank you for joining me today. This will be the last podcast episode of 2022. The show will return in January. In the meantime, if you'd like to submit a story, send me an email at storieswithsapphire@gmail.com. If you like what you heard and would like to support this independently run show, consider becoming a member of my Patreon. Visit patreon.com/storieswithsapphire to learn more. And don't forget to subscribe to youtube.com/sapphiresandalo, where I post an animated spooky story every other week. Salamat and good night. Stories with Sapphire is created and produced by me, Sapphire Sandalo. Music written by Sapphire Sandalo. Special thanks to Meriden, Curry, Cecilia, Waverly, and the Cuento Comics team. For more information on this episode, visit storieswithsapphire.com.